Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
In Mark's Gospel, let's turn there. Mark chapter 3. And if you were down the move when I'm preaching, I'm not repeating the message. It's different. But I'm going to start with Mark 3 and go somewhere very different with it. Verse 13, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him, and he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Jesus has the same plan and the same purpose today. He calls those he wants. And they, if they want to, respond. I believe everybody in this room, God is calling, or Jesus is calling to himself, to follow him. The response of the disciples is down to their free will, down to their own choice and own decision. Because God never press gangs people to follow him. He always wants willing followers. But we see here the pattern of all our lives, really, in that if we are to be followers of Jesus or disciples of Jesus, Jesus calls us because he wants us. I love that word, want. It's not because he has to, but actually he wants us to be with him. So he calls those he wants. And they left where they were, because you have to leave a certain amount of people or situations if you're going to follow Jesus. If you followed me next week to Sainsbury's, you would have to leave what you were doing to come to Sainsbury's. And so if we are really following Jesus, we have to leave certain things to be able to follow him. And as they began to follow him, his purpose was, in bringing people to himself, was that they would be with him. And they are the key words this morning. That they will be with him, and then that he might send them out to do the same works of power that he would show them he was able to do. So the purpose is just twofold. To be with Jesus and to be sent out. It's not one without the other. It's not just sent out, and it's not just with him. It's both. That is the will of God for everyone who chooses to follow Jesus. Now, those who are with Jesus are inevitably changed by him. There is power when you're with anybody. For those people around you to influence you. We all have a certain ability to influence. Even if we're really quiet people. Actually, quiet people can be more influential sometimes than not so quiet. And so we all are influenced by the people we are with. And Jesus knows that he has made us like that, to be influenced relationally. By the people we relate with, we are changed by them. And Jesus had a plan, not just to send his spirit, not just to die for his disciples, but for them to walk with him so they would know him, they would know what his thinking was, and they would know what he wanted to do in any given situation. And so being with him was going to produce very influential people. I absolutely believe that the more we are with the real Jesus, not a theory about Jesus, but with the person of Jesus, the more he is able to change us. So that we can influence the world around us in amazing, powerful ways. You see, God has a plan for every person in this room to be influential and world-changing for Jesus. But it doesn't happen without this close relationship with Him. When Jesus had risen from the dead and gone to His Father and sent His Spirit, we read really the fruit of what Jesus had invested in the disciples. Because we see when the Spirit came, Peter received the power, the indwelling of God in his life. But it's not just the indwelling, it was the shaping of being with the person. And you remember the first miracle that Peter did. He was on the way to the temple to pray, and this guy who was crippled from birth was healed. He was asking for silver and gold, and Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he lifted him up, and the man walked. Now, in Acts 4, just turn with me there, Acts 4:13. People were stirred up by this miracle. And actually, there was opposition coming against Peter and John because of this miracle. And you know, I reckon we could do with a bit of that. Bit of opposition in our lives because we're doing so many miracles. Anybody want that? If you don't, you don't want the will of God. But the will of God is that you will do the same works as Jesus. But there will be always opposition to miracles. And verse 13, when they saw, these are the people opposing, actually Jesus, but Peter and John. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. And they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. It's interesting, the reference here isn't about the Holy Spirit. It's about the acknowledgement of a person and the reality that these men had actually walked with Jesus. And because of that, what they were doing was instantly recognizable because of it being so similar to the life of Jesus. And so we see here the key of having an influence and being influenced by walking with Jesus. You see, we have Jesus with us always. He promises he will never leave us or forsake us. So he never leaves. But the question is, are we with him? He will never leave you. But are we with him? You know, I had a few days holiday this week. And my brother and his family are down on South Coast having a family holiday. And they invited me down for a day. And I picked up my niece to stay overnight. And my brother's got a dinghy, a boat, a sailing boat. And as kids, we used to sail. And I used to love it. I remember when I was, Pastor Michael has a real love for sailing and all things wet. And as a child, we were trained, you know, by my dad to sail when I was about, I think I must have been 8 and my brother was 9. Off we went on our own expedition across the lake. Dad pushed us out and we had to tack our way out to this island and come back. We capsized, but we knew how to get out of trouble. Dad had trained us well. And actually, my brother, he said, come down for a day of sailing. And I haven't sailed for years. And it was just such great fun. The day, I mean, it was a perfect day. The weather was beautiful on the water. My nephew, he and I were crunched up in the front. My brother was at the wheel, you know, the wheel, the rudder, the tiller, whatever you call it. And we just had fun. And he just mentioned, because his son loves doing these kinds of things with him. And I was just watching this relational experience of doing life together. And I was actually just coming into their lives, their relationship. And I saw how much a father loves to actually share what they have loved doing with their son. And, you know, Jonathan's got a love for sailing. He was out on the water all day because that love was communicated from the father. His passion for sailing was downloaded and actually his son caught it. And because I was with them, it kind of revived my vision for a boat. I started to ask questions. And the thing is, I started to move beyond the sail and into the motor. And started to ask questions about how much is that and what could I do with that? And could I put it in the back of my car? And I'm thinking, what could we do? We could come down for day trips. Anyway, I'm digressing. But I was influenced by being with them. You see, when you're with, in reality with somebody, because you can, I could have gone during that day and not really been with them, not got involved, not been open to sharing life with them, not gone out on the water. You see, people in their prayer life can be with Jesus, but actually do nothing. And it just is something you go through the motions of, but you don't actually experience life. You don't experience the reality of him teaching you stuff and giving you a love for the things he loves. Sometimes, you know, that love for the things that really matter to God can only come as we're close to him. And he influences us with his presence. But there is a reality of relationship that comes with being with somebody. There's an influence. Now, this theory of becoming like the one you're with. You know they say, and please don't get offended if you've got a dog. But how dogs become like their owners? I think it's the other way around. Owners become like their dogs. Dogs become like their owners, both ways. Have a look at these pictures. What do you reckon? Isn't that awesome? That's my personal favorite, that one. I call that influence. Thank you. We better turn that off, otherwise we'll be focused on that. But it's amazing how influence can come at many different levels. And Jesus actually has a plan to shape us and change us by us being with him. You know, when we pray, a lot of us never move beyond just the requests. We don't move beyond the asking him to do stuff or needing him to speak. We actually need to move sometimes into the kind of prayer that changes us. Is anybody with me? The kind of prayer that changes us. Because that kind of prayer has power to shape really your future fruit. The fruit of your life will be the product of being with Jesus. We have every good thing in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. But at times our prayer life can become very dull, very stale, and very monotonous. And I put it to you, if you really are with Jesus, you won't be the same when you come out of a time with him. After all, we are not spending time with an ordinary person. We are spending time with an extraordinary person. And time with my brother changed me. But how about time in reality of meeting with Jesus? That has power to really do something transforming in my life and in my experience. And this morning, really, the heart of God and the will of God for every person who has chosen to follow Jesus is that we have a kind of prayer life that changes us and not just changes the world. That we are being transformed by times with Jesus. Let's look at Luke's gospel and we'll just unpack this a bit. I'll tell you another story as you turn to Luke chapter 9. We had a celebration meal on Monday night, and in the morning I'd prayed, and this is kind of return of faith camp, and normally I'm tired spiritually and just sort of take a little bit of a break after camp. But I remember praying in the morning and asking God that I would meet somebody that day for his purpose. And I thought, what am I doing that for? We just need to back off a bit. I've been with thousands of people at camp, you know. And I just remember praying this prayer. And then in the evening, after we'd finished our meal, we were sitting around talking, just four of us. And this old gentleman walked by. And I think, how old was he? 81. And he walked past. And I just felt to break out of the group that we were in and say, hi, how are you? He looked like a nice guy. So he's walking by us, this really old guy. He said, I'm fine. And he was very friendly. So he came and sat down. And we made room for him, got him a chair, and we began to talk to him. And, you know, if you're a Christian, you start to probe where they're at. You start to kind of see if they know Jesus or any experience of Jesus or faith. And we started to kind of probe and ask some questions. And it turns out he's born again. And he's a vicar. And he served the Lord in the army for many years. And his name is Rex, which I quite like because it's the Rev Rex. I thought that was really cool. The Rev Rex. And unpacking his story, you know, whenever I'm with somebody who's walked with God for years, I love to hear their story, or anybody, about their walk with Jesus. And we started to ask questions, and I mean, this guy had a twinkle in his eye. He was quick to laugh. He'd done something to his leg, and his ambition was to throw away his stick so he could ride again. He's a horse rider, and he likes to ride horses. So he wanted to throw away his stick so he could get back on a horse and ride. 81. I think that's exciting. I think that's an adventurous spirit. You know, when you're with Jesus, you never get old. You always have an adventurous spirit because he always gives you a zest for life and for new things. And he was a fascinating bloke. And I said, you know, tell us your story. I was moved to tears. And he said, you know, when I was a young man, he said, I thought I was a Christian. I didn't know that you needed to be born again to be a Christian. And he said, but some of my friends invited me to the Billy Graham Crusades in Haringey. Is there anybody here who went there? I think Joan did. Margaret did. June did. Anybody else went to Haringey? Maggie went. 1954? So Billy Graham came over and ran 12 weeks of mission in Haringey, at which Rex got saved. And from that, he became a vicar and served the Lord all his life. Oh, it's wonderful. And really, I just saw the influence of Billy Graham's life. And I just thought, he's a man who's walked with God. And he has been close to Jesus because all he's done with his life is the things that is closest to God's heart. And that is reach the lost. He has walked with God and preached the gospel. And I thought, and I was praying, I've been praying all week, as a result of that one meeting, God, raise up Billy Graham's. Let us have a time when stadiums are packed once again. 12,000, 15,000, not one seat empty to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thought, influence. And I met a man who was influenced 1954, by a man who was influenced to preach the gospel. You see, if we walk with him, we will be sent out. Because we cannot but be sent out if we are close to Jesus. Because the things that matter to him will be impressed on your heart and will change you and what you do with your life. And so this thing, this message this morning really about being with Jesus, about prayer, is something that I believe we need to pick up as Christians. I believe many trendy moves, young kind of high-speed, high-voltage churches miss out on the reality of being alone with Jesus. You know, it's easy at one level to go to faith camp or to big meetings, and I really believe we need both. I believe faith camp serves a purpose. But faith camp isn't why we're following Jesus. Jesus is why we're following Jesus. Faith camp can help us, but I believe that the deepest work that happens in our lives happens in smaller groups or in time alone with God, where we haven't got the props of a music band and we haven't got the kind of support of somebody else's prayer life and somebody else's worship life and somebody else saying, let's encourage you to believe the promises. But we are on our own with Jesus being changed so that that power of relationship is really where our relationship with God is. I believe in meeting together. I believe in faith camps. I believe in new wine. I believe in all that God does in the nation. But I also know that a lasting work is worked out in a disciple's life when they learn how to be on their own with God. And so this may not be the most popular message this morning, but it is on God's heart. And it isn't a religious ritual. It isn't a meaningless repetition. It's actually being with the most wonderful person you could ever be with. The most accepting, the most gracious, the most visionary person for you and your life. The one who sees and knows everything and yet still encourages. Anybody want to be with that kind of person? Jesus is worth being with. In Luke chapter 9, we read here about three disciples who were taken by Jesus up a mountain to pray. Let's just read this together. About 8 days after Jesus, 28. Chapter 9 of Luke, verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto the mountain to pray. I want you to notice that word, those words there, to pray. The purpose of him doing this was purely prayer. Okay? Because some people just skip over that and just get into all the exciting bits. The exciting bits flow out of prayer. Okay, so this is the start or the doorway into an exciting time with Jesus. They went up to pray, and as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. And Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men that were standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He didn't know what he was saying. Whilst he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they'd seen. The privilege of these guys is that they actually came into a time of prayer and just got a glimpse into Jesus' prayer life. Jesus would often go off to pray, but this is what the disciples were able to have a window on. And because it's in the Word, we are also looking through that window. Today we have seen the same thing because the Word has given us the vision. It's a real picture of the prayer life of Jesus. Now, I have to say, it's not boring. And I also have to say, it's not just for women. I thought I might say that. Hope you don't mind. But sometimes people get in their heads that it's a particular female thing to do to pray, but it isn't. These are men praying. Now, we know there's neither male nor female in Christ, but I believe we're all called to the mountaintop of prayer, where we are changed. Men and women alike, all believers are called to this place. Now Jesus had to travel to get there so that he could be in a place where other people weren't. I know this is a simple key, but everything in our lives crowds out time alone with Jesus. There is a competition for your time and for your attention. And whatever gets your time and attention influences you. And if your life is crowded out by kids, shopping, things you've got to do around the house, work, family, good things even, you are not able to make room to leave and go away with Jesus. But this is the point. Jesus actually took these three and said, "Come on, I'm going to take you out of normal life just for a moment." Actually, it was about a day. He took them out and then they went back indifferent. And so Jesus had to make the effort. The disciples had to walk up the same mountain. And let me tell you, to have the kind of prayer that changes you, it takes effort. It doesn't happen in the car on the way to church. It doesn't happen when you're driving to pick up the kids, although all of those are relevant and not wrong. But I believe in each of our lives, God wants to, in our journey, give us these encounters that are life-changing. And that if we're not seeing it as a biblical reality that is to be expressed today, then we will just go through the motions of prayer without ever being changed by being with Jesus. All the way through the Bible, we read of men and women who were changed by Jesus. Jacob met with God. He wrestled with God. He said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." And he forever walked different after that encounter. And I believe God is looking for a people who will walk with him and be with him, so that when we walk away from those encounters, we are walking differently. I love it when people lay hands on me and I get slain in the spirit. I love it that I can come to church prayer meetings and worship times and All of this is God's rich blessing on our lives together. But nothing and no one can replace me being with him. It's my top experience, and it's my best place. And that actually is the measure of me. It defines actually the reality of my life as a believer. My own relationship with Jesus. Now you might say, well, you have to because you're a preacher. Or you have to, you're leading a church. But actually, I don't have to. Lots of preachers don't. He is my life, not my job. Thank you, Lord. This is not a job, it's my life. And so life with him is actually having a constant effect on me to enable me to walk different after these encounters. So to actually have these encounters, you've got to get away from the normal run of life. You've got to plan it into your diary. You've got to book it in. I actually find holiday time the best time for these kind of encounters because I haven't got the normal run of life. And actually, I can devote special time to being alone with God. I know I need it. The people around me know I need him. Because I need to be changed. And you need it. But actually, I need you to be meeting with God. I think there's nothing worse than seeing people, good people, going along same old, same old, same old, same old, and never saying, I met with God. I mean, I've had the most awesome time. It was just incredible. What I saw, it's just changed me forever. And that's actually down to our own choice. These disciples weren't forced up the mountain. They went with him. And I believe that God is calling us to this place. To actually grow out of, you know, when I was a child, I learned to ride a bike and the bike had stabilizers. Do you know what stabilizers are? These little wheels that go to the side of the bike so that you think you're doing great, but actually you've got no balance at all because the wheels are taking the... I believe we need to take off the stabilizers and get time alone with God and meet with him to change us so that we can change our world. To be like Peter, when people will turn to us and say they're unschooled, untrained, and yet they've been with Jesus. You can go much further than you would ever think by just being with Jesus. Joshua was a young man who had a devotion and desire for the presence of God. When Moses went out to the tabernacle to meet God, Joshua, his assistant, would stay longer in that place before God. I believe God is saying to us, stay longer. Stay longer. Stay in a place in my presence where you are being soaked by my spirit and by my word so that you can go out with a different influence and impression on the world around you. Jesus, whilst he's praying, he changed into a different form. And I think that is so absolutely exciting because this is a supernatural event. And when we pray, it's supernatural. The spirit within us, as we come before the throne, the spirit within us has power to change us. And we see actually Jesus is immediately glorified or light and glory exude from him. They see Jesus transformed. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that as we behold the Lord, we are being transformed from one degree of glory into another. Now we spend a lot of our time praying, beholding us, or beholding our family, or beholding our job, or beholding our circumstance, or beholding the trouble in the nation. But God is saying, how about looking at me? Because those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are transformed. And we see this reality of what is waiting for us on the top of the mountain in terms of prayer. Jesus was changed, and then there appears Moses and Elijah, really symbolic of what God did in the history of his people, with the law and the prophets representing really the foundations of the Jewish faith. And these guys were talking to Jesus about his departure. I don't know, maybe they were strengthening him, just giving him that information. It's interesting, he went straight down and told his disciples, listen. And he was always saying to his disciples, listen, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. They never got the message. They never actually got it. He said it so many times, but they just weren't listening. And so Jesus is having this supernatural experience, which is a window into what is possible for you and I. I don't believe God would ever show something in his word that wasn't possible for an ordinary believer. But only those who want it and go after it will have it. It's the fruit of a pursuit. That's a good rhyme. The fruit of a pursuit. And those who pursue that kind of encounter are transformed. Now, the disciples, these great men who were going to change the world and turn it upside down, were sleepy, as some of you are looking right now. How encouraging you are. But they were asleep. And how encouraging it was for Jesus. Look at them. I'm having all this. The scripture actually says they were weighed down with sleep. This happened, as you probably well know, in the garden. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, the disciples were sleeping. I believe there's a sleep attack that comes on believers, even when they're in a place and a desire to be in the right place with Jesus in prayer. Has anybody ever fell asleep during one of these pursuits? Did anybody fall asleep this morning? Yeah, no. I actually believe the enemy, one of his greatest attacks is to keep the church asleep. And asleep doesn't just mean physically dozing off, although they were. Asleep means actually totally unaware of spiritual things, of God's presence, and the reality of the life of the Spirit. Spiritually dense is what I would call a sleepy Christian. And prayer like this awakes you like nothing else. So they're sleepy, they're about to drop off. And I don't know what you do when you're about to drop off. Do you give in and just let the body take over? I'll just have another 10. Or, oh, I feel the peace. Oh, such peace. Oh, thank you for your peace, Jesus. You know I need sleep. And he's saying, I need you to see something. I need you to be awake. And you're going, oh, there's, you know, and it's the flesh. It's the flesh. It's not God. It's not the Spirit. It's actually, you know, if you live a life dominated by your flesh, you will never see the things that God is wanting to reveal to you. The flesh is very powerful. My flesh is as powerful as yours. There is no difference in any of our flesh life. It's all horrid. And it's all there as a block unless we overcome it. You can shake yourself out of a sleepiness spiritually. But God isn't going to do it for you. And I can't lay hands on you for it either. It's something that you've got to stir yourself up. When I get sleepy, which I do, you know, I have, I don't know if you make these goals, I'm going to get another hour prayer a day. I've just got fresh goal to pray. And it's like, I'm ever so tired. And you know, you make excuses for the flesh. You actually talk about your excuses to the people you live with and saying, well, you know, I had a good hour this morning and, you know, why should I spend more time? And God is saying, if you did, I would turn the nation round. I'll send you out and it's going to be very different when you go out. How many of you want it to be different when you go out? I want the power when I go out. I don't just want words. I don't just want to coerce people to come. I want to see the power of God. And people to say, hey, they've been with Jesus. I'd like you lot to say about one another, goodness me, they've been with Jesus. It's a recognizable thing. That's what God is saying. When you're with him, other people can see it. And so for me, I'm like, what do I do? Well, first of all, I got to deal with the physical sleepy. And, you know, all of you, if you really want to wake up, wake up. If I was offering you £1,000 to get out of bed at 6 o'clock, I tell you, you'd wake. You'd be like, no problem, I'm up. I don't have a problem getting out of bed. And it's something that you can do, is shake yourself. What I do is I move, because I know that if I sleep, I'm not moving. So if I move my body, it means I'm not likely to sleep. Is this deep or very deep? And so I get up. You know, my key is go and get a cup of tea first thing in the morning. That's a key, because I leave the bed, the place where I actually easily sleep. And I journey downstairs all the time. My body is moving. My mind is having to make decisions about where the steps are, how to fill the kettle and put it on, and then to wait and then make a cup of tea. By the time I go back up to my room, which is where I pray, I don't know where you pray, but you've got to find a place. Somewhere, find a place where you can be focused on Jesus. So by the time I've got my tea, I put it down, and I actually, in winter, get back in. But that's because I'm awake enough to see the Lord and not go back to sleep. But you have to do what's right for you. If you can't do that, you better start pacing. You know, you can stay in your room, you say, oh, Father, I thank you. I've come to pray, come to meet with you. I've come to the secret place. Thank you. You say that in the secret place, this is where you are. So you're here. Open the eyes of my heart that I can see. I want to be changed by your glory today. I want to have an expectation of something wonderful happening today. You see, a low expectation means your prayer life will remain low. I go in expecting. You know, you wouldn't think it was very polite if I came around to see you and I started to nod off. You know, imagine going to visit a friend and you... Yeah, sure, yeah. And then just going to have a nap. You know, just taking a short nap. And then when you finish, you say amen and leave. That is not a prayer life. But we've all done it, have we? I've done that. It's all right. But we can get oversleep. And the scripture actually says, when they were fully awake, so not just physically awake, their minds were suddenly, I can see Jesus. I can see, John, quick, come on, wake up. I can see Elijah. Can you see Elijah? I think it's Elijah. I've never seen him before mine, but I think it is. There's Moses. They're having a chat. This is awesome. They were fully awake. See, you do your part, God will do his. We can't make these things appear, but God can reveal. As we seek, he reveals. He enlightens. It's like the curtains go back and you can see Jesus. You can see in the spirit realm. It comes with a person who's awake. And that's why we're to fix our eyes on Jesus, to set our hearts on him, to enter into the most holy place before his presence with faith. See, faith is the key at this point. They didn't have a problem that they were with Jesus because at that time he was physically there. Now he is here, but faith sees him. The eyes of your heart, God has given you a new spirit, and your spirit sees the Lord. He opens your eyes, and he has given you ears in your spirit to hear what he wants to communicate. And so this is really the purpose of prayer and of being with Jesus, is that we don't sleep whilst we're with him, but that we come fully awake. When they were fully awake, they saw his glory and they saw this whole scene. As they're doing this, a cloud comes down. Now, to a Jew, this is scary. Why is this scary to a Jew? Well, a Jew knows the scriptures and knows that the Israelites were led by a cloud in the desert. They left Egypt and God led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So they knew this was God. Can you imagine standing there? Already it's awesome. Suddenly it gets fearful. Because down comes this cloud. And they also knew, as a Jew, the only person that they understood entered the cloud was Moses. Nobody else did, because they wouldn't come out alive. It was by invitation only. And God would come down on the mountain in the form of a cloud. Moses would go up. See, man and God are moving together. You see, when God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you, it's the same word, but because we have a new covenant, because of the blood of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done, the veil has been removed. There's no barrier and we don't need a cloud. Because we've got God in us. But to them, they saw this cloud and they were enveloped by this cloud. And I would imagine if you could actually see and hear what was going on in Peter, James and John, it'd be like, that's it, we're gone. We are toast. I mean, we are toast. We are not coming out of this alive. This is God. And yet they were with God always. But at this moment, they were seeing how awesome he is. Isn't this life-changing for these guys? And they have a voice. I can't imagine them being like, God speaking. Jesus was always speaking to them. But you know, we need to get back to this. God is speaking. We get so used to being with Jesus. Our prayer life becomes so ordinary. And God is looking to shape you in a different way and to give you an encounter that is life-changing. They hear a voice and the voice says, this is my son whom I've chosen. Very simple words. You know, whenever God speaks, it's never complicated. Little secret, you won't need a theological degree to understand it. This is my son whom I've chosen. And the voice said, listen to him. Now, even though Peter had this view of Jesus, you see, and I believe his view of Jesus had diminished to being equal with Elijah and Moses. But actually, Jesus was their creator. Because he is God. And Peter's vision of Jesus had diminished and being reduced. But this encounter and hearing God speak was enough to increase their estimation of who Jesus is. I believe this is the key of this message. May God increase your estimation of who Jesus is in you. That you will not live with a reduced, yes, I'm saved. Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Oh, yes, I pray. Oh, yeah, God does miracles. And yet you are never changed and are not in that place of gobsmacking awe of God. May God restore this to his church. And may we take the necessary steps for this to happen in our lives personally. May we sacrifice our flesh, our own goals of prayer. Because actually we can see here this is Jesus' goal because he led them here. Our goals of prayer are just getting answers usually and having God speak. This is an encounter that's going to transform their vision of who Jesus is so that one day Jesus in heaven is looking down and seeing Peter and John healing this guy saying, I'm proud. They were with me and now they're just like me and they know who I am and what I can do through their lives. They've got a high estimation of the life that lives in them. Life changing. And I believe God himself, this voice, he actually took their attention on off other spiritual things. Moses and Elijah were not what God was talking about. He said, everybody get your eyes on this. This is my son. Jesus, listen to him. He is the voice you need to follow. You're not following a cloud. You see, the day of the cloud is over. God does not show up to lead his people in a cloud. His spirit lives in you. It's a greater leadership. It's much better than the old covenant. Because he leads us as his sons from within. And this revelation, this unveiling of who Jesus is, as he unveils and his glory is revealed, as we behold him, we are being transformed. I know it's a holiday month. I know that this is a very, very deep message this morning. But I believe God has a purpose in your holiday month. And that is a mountaintop encounter that is life-changing. That goes beyond the big events into this more difficult place in a way, but much more rewarding than being with thousands of people and just having this sight and ears to hear what God is saying to us. You see, what are the possibilities in this room? Some ways I'm so challenged personally because I so long for people to come to Christ like they did in the history of revivals in this nation. I mean, just imagine every night 12,000 people packing a stadium to hear the gospel. Not to hear healing ministries, although I believe in that. Just the gospel of our salvation. What Jesus has done for everyone. And I know that in part that is down to us being with Jesus in a different way than we have before. And so this is a call up. It's not a call to relax. God is not saying relax. He's saying wake up. This week, just to finish, You know, I never know what I'm going to preach unless God tells me. And I woke up in the night this week with a Keith Green song about the church being asleep in the light. Keith Green was a revivalist, a great young man who died very young, actually. Incredibly powerful ministry. And he said about the church, asleep in the light. The light was there when they were on the mountain. The revelation of Jesus was there. But for a time they were sleeping. But the miracle is they did wake. So there's grace for us, isn't there? When we have slept, let's wake ourselves up. And I kind of communicated this to Pastor Andrea that following morning. We were praying together and speaking together. And she said, incredible. What was the scripture you had? Something about being, oh, awake, O sleeper. Arise. Arise from your sleep. And I went, I think God might be speaking. Because out of the mouth of two witnesses. And I think that's important as well. Your encounters with God. It wasn't just Peter. I believe that we need to test our encounters with other mature believers. Because they all saw the same thing. You're not going to come into an encounter that nobody else has seen. Hello. I believe it will be confirmed by other witnesses. And God is speaking to us to awake. To come awake spiritually. And awake to prayer in a different way. And I personally am responding. And it really is down to you. But I know the longing of your heart to see this nation changed, to see the worst country reaped for Jesus, to see people come in their thousands to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. But we need a transformation personally so that His glory is impacting us so that we can change the world in a different way. These are serious times. The enemy wants you asleep. God wants us awake. Praise God. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186. Or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.